Yeah, you've got to watch out for those little arrows, they'll hit you. And that was, of course, Leapy Lee. And that was went right to the top for Leapy Lee in the year of 1968.
Give yourself an even chance by joining the winner's circle. John O'Neill with an invitation to join me on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast of M, Saturdays at 9.05 for the racing preview. Concise information on Adelaide and interstate racing. Enjoy the winning edge racing on the coast, 88.7, Saturdays at 9.05.
Now, on the line, I have a lady by the name of Helen, and we're going to explore diabetes. Are you there, Helen?
Yes, I am. Hello, how are you?
And good morning, and welcome to Coast FM.
Thank you.
Now, diabetes, a lot of us suffer from it, don't we? And basically, what is actually diabetes? Just give us the true definition of it.
I guess the true definition of diabetes is an inability for the body to actually process the glucose from the food that we eat to either a complete lack of insulin or not enough insulin, or the insulin's not working effectively.
Yeah, and the symptoms are, well, frequent urination, increased thirst, increased hunger, isn't it, aren't they? They're the most common symptoms?
Yeah, and often there's also a number of different types of diabetes. So we've got type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes and gestational, and then there are some more complicated types as well, and people often sort of lump it all into one.
Yeah.
But certainly the symptoms can be similar. Some people also find, particularly with type 2 diabetes, that they can have troubles with their vision. So they think their eyes are sort of getting a bit blurrier and they're getting a problem with their vision. And also people can find infections, more infections, and infections not healing properly.
Right, yeah. It's a common thing, and type 2 diabetes is the one we can sort of do something about, can't we?
Yeah, we know that in a large number of cases, if we can get in early enough with people who are at risk of type 2 diabetes or who have what we call pre-diabetes, where they've got elevated blood glucose levels but not enough to actually be classified as type 2 diabetes, that we can prevent that with or delay, not for everybody, but we can prevent or delay the progression to type 2 diabetes with lifestyle changes and movement.
Yeah, maybe we can just explain a couple of those lifestyle changes.
Yeah, sure. I guess one of the most important things for all aspects of health, really, is that we've become more sedentary, so we tend to sit. I know in my job, I run a number of different businesses and they're all computer-based, so I sit on my butt most of the day. And it doesn't matter how fit and healthy, you know, how slim you are, whether you exercise regularly or not, just by sitting for hours a day, you're increasing your risk of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and a range of other health conditions. And I heard someone saying that sitting is the new smoking.
Right, okay. Well, there you go. So basically, even if you're working in an office, get up and move around a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So obviously food is a large part to play in the picture as well. So trying to avoid the highly processed foods that require your body to release large amounts of insulin really quickly. So if you eat something like, say, a piece of white bread or drink something really sugary, your body needs to respond really quickly to take that sugar out into the bloodstream.
Yeah.
And if it's large amounts of food as well, so it's about the portion sizes of what we eat as well, if you eat something that's quite low glycemic index, so grainy breads, basmati rice, a lot of the fruits and vegetables, then it takes your body quite a long time to digest that food and break down the glucose. And that's what we want, because that avoids those spikes in blood glucose.
Yeah, and just sort of looking on the internet, there, in 2010 there was about 285 million had type 2 diabetes, which was up 90% of the cases to a 3.3% of the population. That's amazing, isn't it?
Look, the thing with it is that diabetes is really, and it's across the world, the sad thing is it's in the developing countries, it's actually worse. And in our indigenous population, it's three times higher. So in Australia at the moment, 280 people are developing diabetes every day. We know that it's the fastest growing chronic condition, and we think that around about 1.1 million currently have diagnosed diabetes across all types in Australia. But for every person that's diagnosed, there's often someone undiagnosed, and also the family members and caregivers, they're also really affected by the person that lives with diabetes. So, yeah, and with Indigenous Australians, 3 times more likely to have type 2, which is quite scary.
Gee whiz, yeah, it's amazing. And what about... It does kill as well, doesn't it? There's 1.4 million deaths worldwide each year. It makes it the 8th largest cause of death.
Oh, absolutely, and increasing. But the problem with it is that diabetes affects all of the organs and systems in our body. So everything, the glucose runs through our bloodstream, and it impacts on our heart, all of our organs, our nerves. So if you've got I think of it like if you've ever cooked with sugar and you see how it browns things.
Yeah.
So too much glucose in our body actually browns our cells and our nerves and basically causes all sorts of problems like heart attack, problems with cardiovascular system across the whole thing really. So you can get reduced sensation and reduced circulation in your legs, and that's what leads to lower limb amputations.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the biggest cause of kidney disease and blindness as well. So it shortens life by about 15 years.
Yeah, so we have to be very mindful and very vigilant to keep getting checked out, don't we?
Yeah, and one of the things, Roy, that what we do is we actually, at our Diabetes Counselling Online, we actually focus on the mental health side of it, because what a lot of people don't know is that rates of depression for people with diabetes are double that the rest of the population.
That's one of those things. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so it's a really complicated disease. A lot of people don't understand how hard it can be to live with. Particularly the rates in people with type 1 diabetes, because it's, which is what I live with, it's daily, hourly management of your levels up and down and all over the place. And if you don't, the thing is, if you don't maintain control of your diabetes, then you're at risk of all those nasty complications. So you always know that's the case, and it's not a disease that's easy to maintain. So every time you eat, exercise, sleep, get sick, get stressed, get excited, get a whole range of things that happen in your life, your blood glucose is affected. So managing that is a complicated thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have pre-existing depression as well when they come into type 2 diabetes, or problems with eating disorders and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a very tricky one. And if you're depressed, then you don't look after yourself. So it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, I can understand that. And what is Diabetes Counselling Online?
So I started Diabetes Counselling Online back in 2001. As I said, I lived with type 1 diabetes since I was 12, and I'm turning 47 this year, so it's a long time.
Yep.
And I'd been through my own struggles with depression and wanted to reach out and get some help, and I really couldn't find it. And I was also a bit of a nerd, and the internet was just coming into play, and I was fascinated by what we might be able to do with this new way of communicating. So I basically started this little website and was providing free email-based counselling to people, and some forums and chat sessions and an email buddy system, because there was no social media. And gradually, over a couple of years, I was able to get some grants from the National Diabetes Services Scheme through Diabetes Australia. And then we became a charity, and long story short, we've been through some tough years of surviving, but all sort of kitchen table charities kept going, and we've currently got a really fantastic grant from the Commonwealth Government, and that runs until July next year. So we do email and online counselling basically Australia-wide, and we also get people internationally coming to us.
Sounds like you're doing a terrific job there, Helen. And what makes this sort of unique, and how does it work?
Well, it's unique because I guess we focus on that mental health side of things. So there's some fabulous work that's obviously done by Diabetes Australia nationally in all the states, and there's some other really great diabetes services as well. They're doing lots of work. But our focus is particularly on that mental health, and we're experts in that. And the other thing is that all the people that work with me have got personal experience of diabetes. So there's that peer connection as well. So we live with it, as well as having those qualifications to support people through the journey. And we work with people. A lot of work happens, interestingly, in Facebook. People have started to really want to use that. And so we have a lot of groups. So we have groups for pregnancy, for parents, for food, for weight management. So it's really like support groups only in the online.
Yeah, with that depression prospect with diabetes, it really does offer support is the very important thing here by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I was keen to talk about today is that we've actually just released an e-book.
Yeah.
And it's about diabetes burnout, which, you know how people get burnt out from work,
yeah.
especially when you're working really hard and you're not getting anywhere. That's what happens in diabetes. So there was a key study called the Diabetes Mild Study, which was done by the Australian Centre for Behavioural Research in Diabetes a couple of years ago, and they're doing ongoing research internationally. And they actually showed that people with diabetes had very high rates of diabetes-related distress, and the most common problem was worrying about the future and the development of those complications. But there were lots of things that came out of that. And there was an international study also called the DAWN study, Diabetes Attitudes, Wishes and Needs, which is we actually won an award under. And that also found across the world that people with diabetes have reduced well-being and they get burnt out. So they basically just become so disillusioned and unable to manage their diabetes. And then, of course, that puts them at risk of the complications again. So this book has been written by a fabulous writer in our team. And it takes people through looking at why you might be at risk of burnout, what are the signs, what to look for. There's information in there about for partners and for family members. And it's just got, there's nothing really like that in Australia, so it's a first really.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, Helen. But we'll just talk about where you can get this e-book from a little bit later. But just one little last question. Do different types of diabetes experience depression and burnout more than others?
It's interesting. They actually asked a lot of those questions in this study, and they did find that people with type 2 diabetes on insulin had higher rates of distress than people who weren't on insulin, which is interesting. And I think people with type 1 diabetes actually did have higher levels of distress and depression as well. So there are some positive sides to diabetes, to sound funny, but a lot of people actually say that they felt that it changed their life because they took more control of their health, particularly those with type 2 diabetes. They suddenly learned about their body and how to be healthier. But certainly we know that for lots of people, these things are the case. So I think it was 28% of adults with type 1 diabetes and 22% of people type 2 on insulin and 17% of type 2 not on insulin experienced severe diabetes-related distress.
Okay.
So that's quite high numbers.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, but what you've explained today, and you've done it beautifully, is you can live with this, can't you?
And absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things we're trying to say. I mean, I'm a classic example. I was told as a 12-year-old girl that I'd probably never have babies, and if I did, they'd be deformed or born stillborn. I was told that I'd probably lose my legs and all these terrible things, and I had a really hard growing up time through my teenage years and young adulthood. And I had suffered with depression, but I have three wonderful sons, all healthy. I've founded this organisation and now have taken it to be a national charity. I also run another business, which is in interiors and design. I'm halfway through a PhD and I'm also completing my interior design studies. So, you know, life can be wonderful even with diabetes, and that's one of the things that we're trying to get out there to people. It's about how you change the way you think about it and the support that you've got around you.
Sounds fantastic. And on behalf of all of us here at Coast FM, Helen, we'd like to congratulate you for the terrific work you're doing here and this e-book. Now, how can people get in touch with you or get in touch with the organisation to get a copy and learn a little bit more about diabetes?
No worries. Thank you, Roy. If you hop onto our website, which is www.diabetescounselling.com.au, we've actually got an e-store on there, and when you go into there, you'll be able to see where you can purchase the book.
Well, thank you on behalf, again, as all the listeners here at Coast FM. I'm sure you've helped them this morning, and look after yourself, Helen, and we might touch base again down the track.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Just okay. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.